Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Andrew. I am an alcoholic. Could everyone please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In view of our singleness of purpose, we would respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard Alcoholics Anonymous can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a 4th speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open from sharing from the floor and close at 9 o'clock. Can we have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Our first 3 speakers tonight will be Nick, Kat and Mike.
My name's Nick, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, it's a privilege to be asked to share my home group, and my job tonight, I suppose, is to try and tell a new man, you know, I'm still suffering alcoholic, how AA has worked for me and it can work for you. You know, my drinking is the same story as most people. You know, I could not stop or moderate how much I drank. You know, I couldn't pick up one drink without, you know, setting off a craving, do you know what I mean? And I could not stop drinking. Every time I drank, I got pissed. You know, I couldn't drink like normal people, you know, and, I didn't call it an obsession back then. I know it's an obsession now. I become obsessed with alcohol totally. My whole life was ruled by alcohol, you know, and, for me, when I tried to stop drinking, life got unbearable, you know, or I had this mental twist that when I stopped drinking, it could be a couple of days, I'd always think, it may not happen this time. If I have one drink, I might be okay this time. Do you know what I mean? I might not end up locked up this time. I might not end up in prison, I might not end up homeless this time, I'd be fine. And the same thing happened over and over and over again. Problem is, as my drinking progressed, it got worse. And worse and worse and worse and worse, you know. And for me, I tried a lot of things trying to get sober. You know, I went into treatment centres, I didn't do too well in treatment. You know, it got me sober for a short while, but really, you know, I suppose it saved my life because it stopped me dying. Because every time I went into treatment, I was in a bad way, you know. So it basically gave me a couple of months sober time to get back out there and hit it hard again, you know. And when I was in treatment, I got introduced to AA meetings. And I'll be honest with you now, I didn't like AA back in the day. I really didn't. I went to meetings, and these meetings were quite a grim place to be. It was quite negative. You know, people weren't talking about being happy in recovery. People were talking about, no one was talking about the steps. Not many people spoke about sponsorship, and they didn't have what I wanted. You know, these people were talking about being sober, but really, really angry. Still wanted to attack people, hit people. Do you know what I mean? Run people over in their car. Do you know what I mean? I don't want that. I can do that myself. Do you know what I mean? I don't need that. That's what I was like anyway. And as I say, what happened for me was I came to Plymouth, I got sober after another failed treatment centre, and that's when I knew I was in trouble, when I got sober. You know, when I got sober, I lost the plot. That's the only way to describe it. I was okay for a couple of weeks. I was fine for a couple of weeks, like the honeymoon period, I was fine. But as the weeks turned into other months, do you mean I got worse and worse and worse, and I was climbing the walls. I was living in a halfway house in Plymouth, and someone described me as a caged animal. Do you know what I mean? That's how I was described. Sober, I was losing my mind. I really was. I was analysing everything. I was full of resentment, full of fear. Do you know what I mean? I was really, really getting angry. Really angry at everyone. Do you know what I mean? I hated everyone when I came into AA. Hated everyone. And I come along to this meeting, really sceptical. Really, really, really sceptical. I really was. And you guys blew my mind. You really, really did blow my mind. I've been to meetings before, but you taught me that if I did what you guys did, and that's from getting a sponsor, from working the 12-step program, I could stay sober, but not just get sober, but be happy, have peace of mind, live a normal life. All I wanted for a long time was to live a normal life, because I'd gone so far, you know, in the gutter, I never thought I'd get back. Do you know what I mean? I never thought I would get back. And you guys give me hope. You really did give me hope. And that night, I got a sponsor. He gave me simple suggestions to do, and I did it. However weird they were. You know, one was to pray to a higher power. And it was odd at first, I'll be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? But it was a power greater than me. No one's ever said to me, I've got to believe in God. I just got to find a power greater than me, because there was no power left in me to get sober. And that was a fact. And I did. I found a higher power. I started working from the steps. And I always say this, step 4 and 5 was massive for me. Huge. Do you know what I mean? Because I looked at my part in things. Because a lot of my drinking, I spent years and years and years and years blaming everyone for how I felt. I blamed everyone for why I drank. I blamed people when I was in prison. It was the police's fault. It was everything. I blamed everyone for everything. When I took step 4, I looked at my part in things. Do you know what I mean? I took responsibility for my behavior. You know, and when I read this stuff out to my sponsor, and it was quite creepy, some of this stuff, I'll be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? When I read this stuff out, 2 days after reading this stuff out to my sponsor, I can honestly say, from my heart, I felt incredible. I really did. Do you know what I mean? I really, really did. Why did I feel incredible? Because I knew I was going to be okay. I never, ever, ever, all my years of trying to get sober and get recovery, thought I was going to be okay. Ever. I did my step 5, and I knew I was going to be okay if I kept doing what I was doing. You know? And as I worked from the rest of the steps, you know, my life has took off. It really, really, really has took off. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. It's incredible where my life is now. Because I've heard people say it in meetings, and it's cringy sometimes. Oh, I've got to pinch myself. But you know, I've come from Wales. I've come from the gutter. I've come from nothing, Plymouth. Nothing. I've come from nothing. And I come into this meeting living in a halfway house. I've done the 12-step program. I've got sober. And my life is nothing like it was. Nothing like it was. You know, I've got a roof over my head today. Some people say the material things don't matter. But when you've had nothing for years, of course it matters. You know, to have a roof over my head, you know, to be able to work. I'm at university now, and the things I'm doing, I should not be doing. But that is not the most important part of my life. The peace of mind and contentment I have today. You know, I've got peace today, and I've never had peace before. As I said, when I came into AA, my head was racing 100 miles an hour, analysing everything. It's not like that now. You know, I'm sober, I've got peace of mind, and I've got contentment I've never, ever experienced. Do you know what I mean? And it's all because of the 12 steps. Nothing to do with me. All I've done was come in, get a sponsor, listen to that sponsor, do my best to practice these daily principles, and I've recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I live in a completely different world from the world I come from. You know, as I said earlier, I'm studying at university now. That's incredible. Do you know what I mean? That is amazing. I find that hard to believe. I really do. Because if you told me when I come into AA that you'd be going to university and you'd be moving on like that, I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't believe you at all. Because I was a loser. Total dropout. Do you know what I mean? But it's not that. I mean, I'm sober. Coming up to 7 years sober. That's nuts. That is incredible. The life I've got today, married, is so different from my old life. And it does keep getting better. It really does keep on getting better. You know, and anyone new or struggling, you know, you might be skeptical like I was, because I was a complete skeptic towards AA. But I can promise you, I really, really can promise you from the bottom of my heart, if you get a sponsor, you just listen to that one man. Just listen to that one man. Try and do what he says. You will get what I got and what everyone else has got in this room. You know? The obsession with drink will leave you and your life will get better. You know? That's what's happened to me. As I say, the obsession with drink has gone from me. I haven't thought about drinking for 7 years coming up to, you know? Drinking is not the problem anymore. Life is a problem. But today, I've got tools to do life on life's terms, and that's incredible as well. You know? I've dealt with things in my recovery which would have baffled me before. If you looked at me wrong, I wouldn't have been able to deal with it. Today, I can do life on life's terms, and that blows my mind. Do you know what I mean? That really, really, really does blow my mind. And as I can say, if you're new or struggling, you know, you want to get sober, but not just get sober, have an amazing way of life, because I promise you it really, really is. Get a sponsor tonight. Do what we've done and you'll get what we've got. Cheers, thanks.
Hi, I'm Kat and I'm an alcoholic.
God, wow, I'm so nervous.
First off, thanks to Ben for asking me to share, and Mary, my sponsor. She's been a legend. Wow, I can't believe that I'm standing here, to be honest. I really can't, you know. I just, to be standing here means that, you know, I've got this program and that I can, I'm letting the newcomer know that, the obsession to drink has just completely gone, you know. It's been removed, and I never thought that that would happen, to be honest, you know. So, yeah, I'm here to tell the newcomer all about how I got, how I got sober. What I used to be like when I drank, I class myself as like a binge drinker, really. I used to just go out on the weekends, really, and drink, not so much in the week, so that's why I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I just used to really go out most of the time on the weekends. But I wouldn't just have one, you know, it wouldn't stop at that. I'd have two, three, four, and come the end of the night, when it was time to go home, you know, I couldn't do that. I just carried on, and things would get out of hand. I'd turn into someone that, you know, was really, really unlikable. And I just, you know, I just couldn't say no, you know. Once I started, once I took that alcohol into my system, I just couldn't stop, you know. But what I realize is it's not just alcohol that's the problem. I was taking alcohol because, it was a symptom to my living problem. You see, all my life, I've been a bit, you know, bonkers, right? And that mixed with, I know you don't believe me, but seriously, like bonkers with drinking, you know, it just doesn't mix. Growing up, I grew up with a lovely family, lovely friends, you know, had everything I wanted. Just, you know, I should have been so happy. I had so many chances in life. Yet I wasn't completely happy, you know, there just wasn't something right. I wasn't happy in myself all the time. I was looking at other people, wanted to be them. You know, I was looking at external stuff to fix me. I couldn't do relationships, you know. I was always, like, upsetting my family. I was always different. I was quite a selfish person and very dishonest. And that's the way I grew up. But because I always managed to hold down a job, or, you know, my family was always there to back me up, you know, I kind of got away with a lot of the consequences that, you know, people suffer. And throughout my life, you know, I thought I was managing it, but then obviously my safety net went, you know, like my mum and dad, they moved away. I was starting to get depressed. And obviously, you know, on all this stuff that I wasn't happy with, you know, because everything was always boring, or I always wanted to go somewhere else, or I wanted to go traveling, but obviously I'd come back because, you know, everything would still be the same. And, you know, the more and more I felt like this, the more I used drink and drugs to you know, block all that off, really. I didn't like who I was. I really didn't like who I was. So I drank, especially at the weekends, just real heavily, you know. I couldn't say no. I couldn't stop. Once I started, the phenomenon of craving was just continue. And I just got nuttier and nuttier, really. So obviously I went to rehab, you know, I tried that. And I had counsellors as well. And then just over a year ago, I ended up coming into AA. And this is where the magic starts, really. This is where the magic starts, and this is what it's all about. You see, to begin with, I wasn't powerless. You know, I have messed about with the program, but now I've got it. You see, before I was doing it for other people, other individuals. You know, I was doing it because I felt like I should be doing it. You know, I wasn't quite sure whether I wanted it, but come my last relapse, bam, that was step one. That was powerless. The thing is, you've got to be powerless. You know, it's got to be game over for you to be able to do this program, because you've got to do this program to the best of your ability. And it all starts with step one, you know, admitting that you're powerless over alcohol. As soon as you come into these rooms, you've got to obviously, get yourself a sponsor, get yourself a big book, and work through the 12 steps. Now, step one is admitting you're powerless over alcohol. And then you've got to work through the steps, you know, with a sponsor. You know, my sponsor's been with me every step of the way. Sometimes I don't like the stuff that she says, but it's true, you know, it's all true, and she's helped me every step of the way. You've got to get honest as well. You've got to share all your dark secrets, you know, and all those resentments, because I used to drink towards the end of my drinking on resentments all the time. If someone had done my head in, or like, you know, really irritated me, or I wasn't happy with something, I'd go out and drink, and I'd think that I was hurting that person, but I wasn't. I was just hurting myself. And, you know, so you've got to be really, really honest, and you've got to let your resentments go. And making amends as well, that's one of the steps. You know, making amends to all the people, you know, I hurt, because I hurt a lot of people in my drinking days, you know, loads. Because when you're in that bubble, you don't care, you know, you just don't understand. You think that all you think about is yourself, and it's not until you get this program that you realize, you know, what a selfish person, you know, I was. And then, of course, you know, you've got your step nines, which is making amends, and then your step tens. Your step tens are brilliant. I mean, they're how you deal with your resentments. You know, because I get resentments still now, but now I can, like, write down what they are, you know, and who, you know, who they're about, and, like, look at my part in it as well. You know, so that's a good tool to have. And then you're living on the last three steps, which is step 11, which is getting yourself a higher power, you know, because I haven't been able to do this on my own. I can't believe that I'm clean and sober. You know, I can't believe that the obsession's been removed and I haven't done that on my own. It's been all the help of a higher power, you know. And it's like step 12 as well, just giving back to the newcomer. Yeah, I'm nervous, but, you know, I've got to be doing this. I've got to be giving back to the newcomer because, you know, because of what I've got, really. And yeah, I arrived at this home group. This home group, if you're here tonight, it's one of the best in the world. You know, get yourself a service position, you know, because then you feel part of the group. You know, ring a couple of people. You know, whenever, like, you're in self-pity, or, you know, you're constantly thinking of yourself, or something's gone on, you've had an argument, if you just call a newcomer, you know, it takes you out of yourself, and and you're asking how they are, so not only are you feeling a little bit better, but, you know, they're feeling better because they've got someone on the end of the phone that's asking them how they are. You know, this program's all about, you know, helping others. It's all about getting grateful as well. I was never grateful for anything, absolutely nothing. I had everything, and I got so much to be grateful about, you know. And it's just all about being grateful for what you've got, you know, and just seeing, you know, all these things. And, you know, this program's brilliant. I wasn't able to live life on life's terms, and I can live life on life's terms now. Yeah, you know, it feels more peaceful and chilled out, you know. Yeah, I do get erratic sometimes, and I've still got, you know, I've still got my stuff to deal with, but at least I've got a program which keeps me on a narrow path. And at the end of the day, no matter what's happening, you know, I'm not going out and I'm not drinking on it, you know, and that's just amazing. And, you know, I still get my odd resentments. On Tuesday, I went to the meeting and I wasn't picked, right? And I thought, right, oh God, Matt, the secretary, like, I thought, right, you know. But then I thought, no, that's cool. I'm humble, you know, that's fine, that's fine. It's not all about me. But what did I do? I went to Sainsbury's and I ate 2 cream cakes, of course. And I got back home and I thought, oh my God, you know, this has got nothing to do with Matt. It's me, it's my stuff because I didn't accept ends. But this is the kind of person that I am. This is the kind of stuff that I deal with. You know, this is how self-centered I can be and how selfish and dishonest. And it's just all about just, you know, looking at yourself, you know, and just these tools, you know, I don't know, they're just absolutely amazing. And if I'm still in self-will, I've got my sponsor to ask for advice and, you know, just check things out with her. Yeah, I just, you know, I'd recommend this to anyone. If you knew, just please just crack on board. You probably don't believe me, right? But seriously, if you knew what my life was like, how like I would always drink, you know, and take drugs on any situation. I was always, you know, I just didn't want to be myself anymore. You know, if you take that girl to someone who hasn't drank for like a few months now, you know, that's pretty good going and amazing. So if you're new, just get yourself a big book, get yourself a sponsor and work through the 12 steps. Thank you.
Evening, I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic. I'm sat over there, you know, starting thinking about coming up the share, and then it threw me right out. I'm thinking, what's the matter with me? Because I eat cream cakes every day. something else is going wrong with me now. Now, I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic, and welcome to any newcomers, welcome to any visitors. Any new people in tonight, you know, if you're like me, you've come in here, this is reaching the pits. To walk into an AA meeting, it's reaching the pits. It's got to have got bad. Well, we've got some good news, and unfortunately for you, we got some bad news. Being in this meeting tonight, the bad news is we're going to screw your drinking up. Because what we're going to do is we're going to offer you a full and complete solution to all of your life problems without alcohol. Myself, my own story, I've been coming to AA now for almost 24 years. I've been sober 13 and a half years. The first 10 years of coming into AA, I would come in. I mean, for two wonderful shares, I was sitting there really enjoying it tonight. You know, excellent shares from my first two speakers. And I'm thinking, you know, what it was like for me when I first came in. And I would be sat there thinking, I ain't Welsh. I ain't been in a homeless hostel. So I ain't like you. Kat, I ain't even going to listen to her because she's a woman. I had real stinking attitude. That was when I first come in, Mary. I had a stinking attitude. Yeah. So that was my attitude, you know. And I would sit there and it was every single difference. It was anything, basically. You know, things would get so bad in my life. I would come into an AA meeting and it was just God. You're talking about God. Somebody mentioned praying. Sorry, mate. I'm out of here. Don't do that stuff. Don't believe in it. I'm gone. I was picking little bits up along the way. People were saying things like, you know, this gets worse, you know, progressive illness. There's little sayings, little cliches that go on, you know, it will get progressively worse. And, for me, that came true. It did come true. It did get worse. It got worse. I started seeking more help. I started seeking professional help. The professionals did what they could for me. And then I'd be drinking again. I knew every time that I went somewhere for help, even coming to AA, I'd sit down and I'd walk out and I knew in the back of my mind, I knew this ain't gonna last. I know I'm gonna drink again. Fortunately for me, I got to a point where I come down to Plymouth and, I thought my life had ended, you know, Plymouth of all places, you know, I said, oh my God, I'm in another treatment center in Plymouth. And, you know, my experience is I just go through some of the stuff. I've done art therapy. I've done acupuncture. We was talking about it the other day about sticking needles in one ear and stuff, talking about it in work. And, you know, I've been put in the nut ice for suicidal attempts, you know, 24-hour suicide watch. Detox is in there. There's a treatment center after treatment center. This is just my experience, you know, treatment center after treatment center, dotting around the country, went through 11 of those, and every single time, every single place I went to, they all kept saying the same thing. You need to go to AA. You need to work the 12 steps. And again, my experience, I'd come along because I knew I was screwed. I knew I was going to drink. I'd drink. So I'd do what they told me to do. I'd come to AA and I'd sit down and bang, my head would be on it. I ain't Welsh. I ain't listening to you. I ain't God. Forget it. But I got to a point where I come down to Plymouth and I meant it this time. I was in a real mess. I was in a real state. This time, it is going to be different. I spent 8 months in treatment and I came out and I went along to a meeting and I poked my head in through the door. You know, there were some lads there that I'd been in treatment with and that, and we'd been dotting out, so we'd sort of like, you know, said hello to a few people and that, and bought some cheap baccy, what, you know, that sort of stuff. And I went in there and I've got to be honest, I sat there and the whole purpose of me going along was just to kind of say to these guys, hey, look, I'm still sober. I'm doing okay. I'm out in the real world now. I'm doing okay. And I was living in a little flat, lovely little flat, and I was screwed because I was drinking again. It just happened. I can't get away from it. But my problem is nobody in the world understands my problem. Nobody in the world can, you just don't know this thinking I've got. Yes, I know I can't do this anymore. I know it's screwing my life up. I know it's putting me living in a bloody coal bunker shed thing. I know I'm losing everything. But there's this other voice that just takes over and it feels like the truth to me. It's all of a sudden I'm lying to myself and I believe it and I'm picking up a drink again and I can't stop. And I ended up with a lad who was in the treatment with me, and he came round and visited me, and there was really something different about this guy. You know, it's only been a couple of months or so, you know, I haven't seen him, and he was just a changed character. It really did my head in. Sorry, I've got to grab a drink of water. Yeah, it really did my head in, because this guy sat in front of me and he said, you know, what's going on? And he said to me, I've gone to the meetings and I've started working 12 steps. And it was not what I wanted to hear. I've been hearing that for years. I've been coming in and parking me backside in for years, you know, not actually doing anything, just parking me backside. And it didn't work. It didn't work. But this guy said he was doing something different. He had got a sponsor and he'd start working through the steps. And I couldn't deny it. I couldn't deny that there was something changed in this man. So I came along and, lucky for me, I rocked up at this meeting. And this is where I was saying, you're screwed. You're absolutely screwed because we got a solution. You walk out there now, we've ruined your drinking. You know, if you really want a solution, you'll get your ass back here and you'll get a sponsor. You know, that's what I ended up doing. I grabbed up one of these sponsors. You know, like Nick said, skeptic, didn't believe it was going to work. But there was little things that was being said where John there, you know, I heard John talk about this obsession. You know, what I was just talking about there, the voice that overpowers and lies to me. He said that obsession's been removed. And it was little things like that I was catching hold of. And I grabbed one of these sponsors and he gave me a list of suggestions that was just so ridiculous, so far removed from my problem that I thought, what's this guy on? He's more mad than I am. But anyway, I was in such a desperate place at this point that I was willing to try anything. And again, if you knew, you can have this solution starting tonight. This can be very, very fast working. My own experience again, I walked away and I did what I could from that list. I did that night. And I did get this feeling. I had never had it before. Every time before, that little, I know I'm going to drink. This time, it was something that felt so different that it just encouraged me to carry on doing it. And I'm standing up here 13 and a half years, past 13 and a half years, without a drink. Now, why, the reason I'm saying that is that this can be very, very quick, and it can also be long lasting. Our book says this has got depth and weight. You know, I can guarantee you the depth and weight this has given me, situations that I felt impossible to overcome have just been easily managed. I've had some ill health, you know, the past couple of weeks has been, well, past 3 weeks, 2 weeks of it was absolutely horrendous. You know, I speak to my sponsor, I let him know what's going on with me. He's telling me, put it in your prayer and meditation. This God I didn't believe in, I've been introduced to a higher power that I'm comfortable with. It's allowed me to joke. It's allowed me to laugh through what's been going on with me. You know, it's allowed me to continue to come here and say to you as a newcomer, this works. You can walk away tonight with a full and complete solution. You never have to drink again, and you can have a wonderful life at the end of it as well. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. I'd now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, David.
Thanks a lot. My name's David. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
And thanks very much, Wayne, for asking me down here to speak. My home group is the Pudley. There is a solution meeting in Pudley in Surrey. And I've been here before, and I really like this meeting. You know, I got a real welcome when I came in the door. If you come in new, you can't avoid it. You know, everybody's going to shake your hand and speak to you. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, actually I was sitting there and I was thinking, what am I going to say? Because they've said it all. Do you know what I mean? Apart from I've got my experience. You know, my experience differs slightly to everybody else's, and that's cool. You know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I couldn't get sober, like, couple of you have said, you know, it took me a while to surrender to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I came here and, first of all, for a relationship, you know, I'm a funeral director, and I was married, and I was working for funeral directors, and I drank a lot, and I did a funeral for this family, and the lady was rich, and she was very beautiful. And very Greek. I love women that are dark. And I married a blonde. It's really insane. But, you know, I fell in love with this girl. And I did her dad's funeral. And that's really sick, you know. And apart from her being beautiful, it was the fact that she had loads of money. And that time in my life, it was the solution. You know, it was like I would take her prisoner. And anyway, I took her. And I left my family. And I had 3 young children, and I went off to live this wonderful life. And the whole year that I was with her was, I didn't drink. Because just previous to that, I was absolutely insane drinking. I got done for drink driving, all the things that we do. And, as soon as I got hold of her, I thought, if she ever sees me drinking, she's going to tell me to piss off. So I was able to not drink for a year. And, what happened was we were sitting somewhere in a hotel somewhere, living a high life, and she said, why don't you just have one drink? And I thought, oh yeah, I'll just have one drink. And I had one drink, and 3 months later she had enough of me, and I was an Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And I know that it's a progressive illness, because that year I gave up not drinking, it was unbelievable when I started again. And I hadn't even been to AA. And then I came to AA, and I just hated everybody. Do you know what I mean? I really hated everybody. I didn't want to be sober. People suggested, you know, I talked about suggestions tonight. People suggested things that were really wacky. They said, just if you go to a meeting every day, you'll stay sober. And I was like, so I went to a meeting every day, and I was drunk before, after, in between. And I'm thinking, it's all right for you, lot. And then I came across somebody who said, if you get on your knees and pray for a sober day, you won't drink again. So, in desperation, I get my knees and I pray for a sober day, and I'm drinking by lunchtime. And then I think, well, God really hates me. He might love all of you, but he really hates me. And And then I'd sit in meetings and people would say they were, I remember a guy say he was grateful for being an alcoholic. And I had to be held back by three guys outside the meetings. I wanted to kill him. Because I couldn't comprehend how he would want to be grateful for being alcoholic. I just couldn't understand it. And I tried loads of different things. You know, I thought, if I get this guy who's 45 years sober, if I get him to sponsor me, then obviously I'm going to stay sober. You know, and he suggested that I go to a meeting every day and not worry about the steps, at least for the first couple of years. And that seemed really easy for me. You know, just don't worry about doing the steps for the first couple of years and just go to meetings every day. And don't worry about God. And that didn't work either. So I got in this place in Alcoholics Anonymous where I was trying the things that everybody else seemed to be staying sober with, but I couldn't. And then I got in a little group that we were all relapsing together, and that was real fun. You know what I mean? And then I came back to meetings after a relapse, and the pretty girls cuddled me. And they said, oh, poor you, and they patted me on the back. And I'm thinking, oh, if I just relapse a few times more, I might get more than that. You know what I mean? And then I tried to try and figure out that if I go out and have a drink and come back all sweaty, that blonde girl on the Tuesday night meeting will look after me and cuddle me. Because at the end of my drinking, near the end of my drinking, nobody wanted me around. Nobody. Not my kids. Work. Nothing. And so I was in Alcoholics Anonymous a long time trying these weird and wacky things. And somebody gave me a card. There was a guy turned up. It was 3 months before I got sober. And there was a guy turned up from Canada. And I hated him. You know, he used to turn up at meetings dressed smartly. And he spoke about God. And I was just like, God, what are you speaking about him for? And he spoke about taking all these actions in his life that I thought were man's nuts. You know what I mean? Like, he paid all the money back to people that he owed. And he spoke about helping newcomers, and he could quote the Big Book off the top of his head like that. And I just hated him. Do you know what I mean? And most other people in here hated him too. And somebody gave me his card, and I was about 2 months before I stopped drinking. And I thought, I will never, ever ring that man. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no way he's as happy as he's making out to be. It's just impossible. Not if you're alcoholic. And what happened was, I was, cut a long story short, I was sitting in my kitchen, just came off my last drink, and I felt terrible. And the inside of my guts was like churning and churning and churning. And I remember somebody saying, if you just get the Just for Today card, the whole program's in there. So I thought when I was new, that if you get the Just for Today card, they give it away at most meetings. To buy a big book, it's £8. Do you know what I mean? So if the whole program's in a Just for Today card, it's much easier to have that than a big book. And it saved me £8. And I'm sitting in my kitchen reading what I think is the whole program. And I'm feeling really painful. And I had tried whatever the people were supposed to. I'd never been to treatment, but I've tried doctors, psychiatrists, I've tried AA, and I'm just thinking, you know, I've had enough. And what I did is I took the bread knife from my kitchen and slit my wrist. And it wasn't doing it fast enough. So I went and got a razor blade and I cut it up, and I meant to die. You know, I tried suicide a couple of times before, and I thought I had committed suicide or tried suicide, but they weren't really. They were just cries for help. I know that looking back. I didn't know that at the time. But this was I had a sincere desire to die. And anyway, I ended up in hospital, and I conned a psychiatrist to allow me out with this girlfriend. Who had really had enough of me by now. And in the trade that I do, I'd obviously, you know, they spoke about God and AA, and here's me as a funeral director. I've gone into churches and seen ministers every day of my work. And so I must have picked something up in AA about God. And I knew a Catholic priest. And for me, this is really strange. I was talking to somebody outside the meeting who's Scottish, right? I was brought up just outside Glasgow, and I was brought up in the blue side, you know. I hated Catholics when I was a kid. Well, I didn't really hate them. I was brought up to hate them, you know, and it's just the way it was. And when I was a young child, I used to go to the Catholic church and urinate in the holy water. You know the little thing, if you're Catholic, that you go in and you dip your fingers in and you cross yourself? I used to piss in it. You know what I mean? And we used to sit out there and we used to look at them doing it, dipping the fingers in, thinking it's funny. And then we used to spray paint the green grass outside the church red, white and blue. Or orange if we were really pissed off. So for me to go and speak to a Catholic priest is just an amazing thing. And this was my first day of sobriety. And I went to see the priest and it was really funny. God had set me up because I did most of my funerals in this Catholic church. And I remember I used to go and they had Jesus, big, huge brass Jesus. And I used to be like, try to duck him. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought he's going to get me. You know, I didn't believe in God, but I thought he's going to get me for all those things I did. And I couldn't wait to get out of the Catholic church when I did funeral. And I went to this priest. And it was really funny because somebody had done a funeral for her, had given me a bottle of whiskey. It was in my office. I put it in the boot of my car, come out of hospital, drove around to the priest's house and gave him the whiskey. I said, look, I really don't want to drink. I said, and I don't know why, but I want to get in the church, you know. And I remember, like it was yesterday, he had a key, and he would, like a big bunch of keys, and he's trying to open the church door. And I'm thinking, for God's sake, just open it. And I don't know why, but I do know today I was in desperation. You know, and I got down the church, and that big Jesus thing that was up on the wall, I got down on my knees, and I prayed to something I don't believe in. And from that day to this day, I haven't had a drink. But I had to do a lot of other stuff, you know, because I got up off my knees, and I thought, hallelujah, I want to become a Catholic. Do you know what I mean? And the priest said to me, Dave, I think you should go back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, you're kidding me, the shouldn't swear. They're nuts. And he said, but have you really ever tried working the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous? And I'm thinking, how does he know about the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, because I used to see it on the boards. That was about all I knew about it. You know, and I used to duck 8 and 9, definitely, and especially 4 and 5. And he said he had been to Al-Anon and that he'd worked the 12-step in Al-Anon. And he said, I think you should go back to A, get a sponsor, and work the 12-steps. And that whole hallelujah thing I felt left me, because now I'm really pissed off that I have to go back to AA. And what I did is, the card that somebody had given me a couple of months previous, is I rang Mr. Happy, and I said to him, look, you know, I'm in a real bad state. I need help. And he said, come round my house. And he told me where he lived. And he lived in Dorking, and I drove around his house. And he said, I've watched you in and out of AA. He said, in your effed. If you don't take these steps quickly, you'll die. And I was like, all right, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Cult. Try to get me. Because I was really scared of these 12 steps. And basically what he did is he said, look, I think you should, can you take any time off work? And I took 2 weeks off of work. And this man didn't know me from Adam at all. He'd only seen me in AA. And then he moved me into his house and he fed me. And he sat down with me and he read me the big book, word by word, page by page. And for the first time, I got to understand what I was. Because I sat in AA and said I was an alcoholic and shared a load of rubbish. But I never really knew what it was. And you spoke about it, you know, this twofold illness that we have. And I never knew about that. And going through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I got to learn that I have this disease that wants to kill me. You know, and it doesn't want to kill me quickly. It wants me to die painfully and slowly. And then I had to like find this power greater than myself. And the really weird bit though, after he'd been feeding me a couple of days, it was probably about 3 days, I think, was that he said, right now we're going to do a step through prayer. And he said, we will get down on our knees. And he said, I can shut the curtains if you like, or light a candle. And I'm thinking, I know now he's gay. And all his mates are going to come out the cupboard and they're going to get me. And anyway, I told them to leave the curtains open. I didn't want any candles lit. And I got on my knees with my sponsor and I took a third step prayer. And I don't know, something changed a little bit. You know, something did change a little bit. He said some stupid, weird prayer after we did that, and I just sort of left him to it. And then he said, now I think you're going to do your step four. And I was like, I'm like three, four days sober. I said, are you kidding me? I've been in NA for years. Do you know what I mean? People that are 10 years sober are still working on their step fours. You don't do them that early. And he read me the next page, which says, next we launched in a course of vigorous action. He said, think of a rocket, Dave. Think how quick it goes up into the sky when they launch it. That's how quick the founders want you to do a step four. And he gave me a pen, a bit of paper, and he showed me how to write my resentments and my fear and my sexual conduct. And I did that in 24 hours. And I never, because I was with him, I was confined. And I would have said after I did it, and I did my step five, that I'd got everything out, but I hadn't. I'd got everything that I could think of honestly, but there was plenty of other stuff that came up later. You know, because I was 4 or 5 days sober, do you know what I mean? I can't write all my resentments. But I got what I needed to be able to stay sober. And then did the rest to share later. And then he sent me home to do a 6 and 7. And I remember, I've said many step seven prayers after that. But I've never said one that I really meant it as much as that one. And when I looked at what I was, and really, to cut my whole step four out, I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. That was it. That's all I was. Pathetic one at that. And did I ever want God to remove all that from me? Of course I did. And again, when I got on my knees and said the step seven prayer, and was really willing for God to remove everything, I think for about 4 seconds they were. And then they all started coming back again. And they constantly come back again. And he'd given me some suggestions before I left to do that, and that was that I turned up the next day with a 8th list, and the way he'd asked me to do it. And I've been through the steps many times after this, and this is the way I did it when I was new. I did a 3 columns, and it was the ones I was willing to do now, the ones I was willing to do in a little time, and the no effing ways. And I had most of them in the little time, and a lot of them in the no effing ways. And I took them to my sponsor, and he changed them all for me. And he said, maybe you can go and do this one, and maybe you can do this one. And I had none in the no effing ways. And amends have been really fun, because when I was in AA relapsing, I remember people sharing about making amends, and you go and say sorry to everybody and da-da-da-da. I remember this girlfriend that I really liked, that when I was drinking in AA, I could go and say sorry to. And you know when you go and see your next girlfriend, you're still half drunk. You know the sort of thing that happens then, don't you? I had to go back and make proper amends for what I did when I was in AA. And I went out and made amends, and I was scared of a lot of them. You know, I had an amend that it's probably still not been made 100%, because I have an amend on my list that somebody put a gun to my head for it, and I'm not just saying that, that's the truth. I had financial amends to the work that I was in that my sponsor suggested that it would be a period of time, and he would let me know when they were finished. And what happened was, in those amends, is 3 years of being in a job that I hated when I was sober. Even though I was working a program and helping others, I hated my job. And I spent 3 years making amends to that job. And what happened at the end of the 3 years was, the amend was done. My sponsor says, I think it's done. And within 24 hours, with no money, and I mean I had no money, the opportunity came for me to open up my own funeral directors, and the money came. Now that weren't me, that was God. You know, through a sequence of events, I ended up with the money to open up my own funeral directors. Which today I was speaking to Wayne earlier, you know, I still get so fearful of financial insecurity. You know, we do all right, but you know, I always want more. Whatever God gives me, I always want more of. And I have faith in God, but to trust Him in every area of my life is a different story. And I learned that through my step 10 that you spoke about, through my 10 inventory. And I live in, my sponsor said to me, this is for you, Dave, for you to find and encourage and to seek and to go and do different things and read different books and see where God is. And I've tried lots of different things. You know, I went to this charismatic, and I'm not knocking any of this, right? If you like it, I went to this charismatic Christian church, and I loved it. It was fantastic. They played loud music. It was like being at a rock concert. And I was just thinking, this is what God should be like. You know, this is amazing. And these people, because I work a 12-step program, and I'm pretty straight on all the things I do, and I live an honest life, most people in church don't. You know what I mean? They're doing porn, and a little bit of gambling here, and a little bit of drinking around the corner. And I'm pretty straight to them. You know? So they looked at me as like king. You know? They thought I should train to be the next pastor. And I was thinking, yeah, this is cool. You know what I mean? I'll become a pastor. This is what God wants me to be. And, you know, I went on this for a little while, and it was like I was being worshipped in the church. You know? King David. It was funny, I was standing outside, and this hall's called Davy Hall, and I'm thinking they named the hall after me. They knew I was coming tonight. And, when I eventually got honest with my sponsor about what was happening around this seeking God stuff, and this was 2 years ago, he suggested I leave the church and start engrossing myself back into Alcoholics Anonymous, because he said, they try to live the solution that you need to stay sober, but they ain't got your problem, Dave. They have not got your problem. People in AA have your problem. And step 12 has been amazing. You know, I was 3 months sober when the first guy asked me to sponsor him, and I was like, oh my God, you know, and my sponsor said to do it. And I did it. And see, by that time I was going out into AA, because I had nearly died in AA, I was going out to AA with a copy of the big book and slapping people about with it. You know what I mean? You know when you nearly died in AA and you get all excited and think, you've tried to kill me, Bill W. says this. And I did a lot of that. And I thought, well, if I can keep this guy sober, all of yous will believe in me. So I thought, I ain't going to tell him to do all the things that I did that were very painful and, you know, were hard to do the steps. And I'm not going to say it was easy doing the steps. They were quite hard. I thought, I'll just keep him and take him to meetings. And if he stays sober, people believe in me. And he was never able to stay sober. You know, and I don't think to this day he even able to stay sober. But then today, through doing those things and going through the steps again and doing all the things that are suggested here, I've been able to have peace of mind, like you spoke about. You know, to have a mind that most of the time is peaceful. And it's only most of the time peaceful when I'm being of love and service and Alcoholics Anonymous. Because all the time I'm sitting at home thinking about me, my head gets very painful. And my stomach starts to churn a little bit again. And that knot inside starts tightening a little bit. And it's very painful. So I've tried to sponsor people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And to be honest, you know, the honest truth is that most people don't want what we have. You know? Most people don't want to come through that door and have what we want. And some just are incapable of grasping and developing a way of living like I live today. And I've become peaceful with that, because I used to think that everybody came through that went through the steps would stay sober, and it's not true. You know, some people won't make certain amends, they get drunk. Some people do certain things, they get drunk. I think if I stay in Alcoholics Anonymous and stay focused and be honest with a sponsor, I've got a very good chance. I'm not going to stand here and say that I'll be sober to the day I die, because I don't know. You know, I take today and I live today. I don't just not drink one day at a time, because the bastard said that to me as well. Just don't drink for one day at a time, you'll be all right. And I'm thinking, how do you do that? Do you know what I mean? How do you all stay sober one day at a time by just not drinking? Don't pick up the first drink, because I couldn't do that. You know? And today I've had a lot of things in my life. You know, I have my business. I got married to some little good AA girl. My sponsor told me not to do that, and I did do that. And, you know, thank God I'm still married to that lovely little AA girl today. But I'll tell you about that. Was briefly, when I was relapsing, I remember turning up at a meeting. I didn't know her. And I turned up at this meeting on a Monday night in Oxford, and some biker chick is doing the chair. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a little businessman here, you know what I mean? She's nuts, and I'm judging, and I'm, you know, I'm new, and I'm not, I'm thinking, and I got up halfway through a chair, and I thought, she's absolutely nuts. You know, and she was, because she hadn't watched the program. You know, at least I got something right when I was new. And I got up and somebody followed me out and he said, oh, come back in. And I said, nah, she's nuts. You know what I mean? I'm nothing like her. I'm going to go and get drunk. And I went and got drunk. You know, and it was 2 years later that I walked down the aisle and married her. Do you know what I mean? That's really nuts. You know, and, you know, my children love me today and they hate me. You know, I have a little boy who's 5 and his birthday is coming up. And you know, what a miracle. You know, when he was due on the 11th of December. And I just thought, oh, please let him, God, be born on the 11th of December, because that was the day Bill W. had his last drink. And I'm thinking, how cool if my little boy is born on the 11th of December. And God had a different plan, and he was born on the 12th of the 12th. And I just thought, how cool is that, though, to have a 12 by 12 baby? You know what I mean? And all these little signs that I got that I didn't see, today I can see them in my life. You know, the flat that I was living in when I was relapsing in AA had the postal code CR82AA, and God was trying to tell me all the time. You know, all the time. And today I do live peacefully. You know, I have an immense peace in my life. And I'll finish on this. From my step four, my father was my biggest thing. My father was a drunk who tried to kill me when I was 8 years old. And I went through a children's home and all the poor little things when I was growing up. In recovery, I never saw him since I was 8 years old. In recovery, I met him. And he's an AA, and I got to know him. And he doesn't live the AA life that I lead. You know, he lives the AA life that got me drunk. And I had to, you know, say, nice to see you, and to see you nice, and let him go. But, you know, the peace of that, because he was all my first step for, was my father this and my father that. And to be able to close that chapter in my life, you know, and be grateful, because my brother and sisters ain't been able to close that chapter. They've never met him. And I have, you know, I got all these things, and I get a peaceful way of life because I stay here and I become accountable to a sponsor, and because I stand up for what I believe in. You know, I try to weaken my message a little bit so that all that AA will like me. And you go home and you feel dirty, and you feel you've robbed yourself of something, you know. Anyway, I'll finish on that because my little red light's come on, so unless you're going to give me another 10 now. No. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.